Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Difficult Conversations, where we tackle taboo topics in a safe space through empowerment and education.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you so much for coming.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having us.
Nice to meet you both, Nabila Mustafa.
Nice to meet you too.
What part of Minnesota, what area do you guys live? Just keep its general forms.
I live in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I grew up in St. Paul. So born and raised in St. Paul. St. Paul baby my whole life.
What part of St. Paul?
On the west side of St. Paul. It's closer to Oakdale too.
Yeah.
So it's not too far, but yeah.
St. Paul is a very big city, but for us suburbs kids, I think I always lived in the north suburb, like closer to Maple Grove, Plymouth area. Mm-hmm. As long as I lived in Minnesota, that's the area that I lived in. What about you, Bonnie?
Yeah, I got off the boat in Coon Rapids, and then we moved 10 minutes to Blaine. I finished my high school there. When me and my husband got married, we had an apartment in Fridley, and then we moved back. So like my whole life, I've been in those 10-minute radius. Of spaces. Yeah. It's so funny too, because I'm the person that expected that I would go to New York and disappear into the city and never come back here. And you know, the Hallmark movies.
Yeah. I mean, that's what everybody says. Yeah. At the beginning of their high school career, they're like, yeah, bro, I want to go far away, explore on my own, this and that. Come to find out, you end up going to school, you get your degree here, and you get married here.
What does that say about us though? Honestly, as in just in general, as automobile community, a lot of us, we like to be collectively in one area.
Yep.
Yeah. Honestly, I just think that just means that we want to stick together and we need each other at the end of the day, because we want to have a good sense of community. And I also feel sticking together, that kind of shows that I see this. They want to have a reminder of how back home feels like too, staying over people and not like being an outsider in a country that they're not really familiar with. So yeah, I was just saying, they just want to have a strong sense of community and also that reminder of what the sense of back home feels like.
Yeah.
And because I feel like Oromo people, they want to stay there because they need each other.
That's true.
And especially how there's like supermarkets and Oromo-owned businesses. They want to like, they'd rather go to the Oromo-owned businesses than a white person or like some other type of business.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. What about you, Abin?
Yeah, looking at it, I feel as much drama. There might be a little bit here and there, but at the end of the day, we still want to have each other's back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Tokuma, that's what we rep, right? That's what we represent. So if one of our brothers or sisters falls down, we'll gather as a community and then help each other back up. So I feel like we just want to stay closer together so we can grow off each other and learn more from each other and like things like that. And stuff is said, it's a sense of back home, sense of community.
Yeah. When it comes to social environment, like friends, how is that like in high school, for example? Where did you guys went to high school? Where do you go to college now? I also want to understand a little bit about your social environment. What does that look like for you guys as well?
Did you guys gravitate towards Oromo people or that kind of stuff?
I'd say I would have Oromo people around. Like, I'd be friends with a lot of Oromo people, but because of, like, my environment, my schooling, I, like, mostly grew up around Somalis more.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, I didn't pay attention to that. I just paid attention to whoever really I wanted to be around. I don't really, like, care about ethnicity, but I feel like, coming out of high school, I feel like I started gravitating more towards Oromo people.
Uh-huh.
And started sticking with them because deeper in relationship with them. At the same time, most of the people that are Oromo, I mostly grew up with everyone, and I know a lot of Oromos in Minnesota, so just growing up with them.
Uh-huh.
We share that kind of everything together because we either went to Duxie together or we know we've seen each other through Masjids or our parents know each other. So we all have some kind of childhood experience with each other. I feel like that's what that kind of led me towards gravitating towards them later on.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, for me too. My elementary days, I went to almost like 90% Somali school. And so we had some Oromos there too. Growing up, I wanted to be around people that looked like me. So whether you're a Somali or Oromo, because at the end of the day, of course, we're like a politic about all Somali or Oromo, but we're not as different as people may think. In high school too, it's the Somalis and Oromos just stick together. Or like the East Africans too, like the Sudanese, and we don't want to throw them out. So the Horn of Africa is like staying strong. We're really that horn. So that's how it was for me in high school too. We all stuck together. Coming out of high school, we all took different paths, right? And in the college I go to, like Mustafa said, I have a deeper connection with my Oromo people. Of course, like Oromo, like Oromo. That's one thing we already have in common. We could build from there. I'd like to surround myself around that more. And yeah.
Do you feel like having people from the same area, same region, either the Horn of Africa in general or Oromo Somali, depending on how micro you want to go, do you think that also protects you from certain things? Because for me, when I was in high school, because I went to Blaine, it was like white central. So our circle was, if you're African, you stuck together. And that understanding of our parents don't mess around. Mm-hmm. School is very important. So like when we had that kind of circle, it kept us from messing around in our grades. And then when I gravitated towards, I mean, we didn't have a lot of foreign people, but I gravitated towards Muslim Africans. Because then now we have the same boundaries and mm-hmm. they're not going to tell me, hey, let's go out at 6 p.m. because they know that's when I'm supposed to be home. Mm-hmm. So was that also like maybe an unconscious consequence of you guys surrounding yourselves with the same type of people?
Yeah, for the majority, for the most part, we would say our parents are strict. I'll put that in quotes. I wouldn't really say strict, but more like you see the white kids going out and, you know, coming home. Let's say 10 p.m. is their curfew. We might have to be home like Maghrib time, you know, before mm-hmm. it gets dark outside. And it's, you wouldn't really have to explain that to like your friends. Say like we're with your white friends. Oh yeah. Oh, mom, come home 10. 10? What are you doing outside at 10 o'clock? You know? Yeah, you have to come home. Like, and it's growing up, I noticed it, but I didn't really question it. Cause at the end of the day, it's like for our safety, different families have different norms and it made sense. So I guess maybe that could be like a subconscious reason why I'll like surround myself around more people like me. They wouldn't really like really question like things like that.
Yeah. You don't have to explain yourself.
Yeah,
you know, or feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Basically, I feel like he said I subconsciously grew towards or got closer with them because you don't have to explain yourself. You guys were all in the same boat. Everyone knew that if you did this, our parents were all tweaked collectively. And also, if you was to hang out with someone else that didn't have that idea of discipline or that kind of rule,
yeah.
then it's more of like the outsider, especially if you're hanging with them, because then you're the one that has to be home before everyone else. And they're all like, why? You know, like, it just didn't, you didn't feel right. You didn't feel like you fit in.
Right.
So being with people that's like you, mm-hmm. it makes you feel comfortable, especially in that high school environment, because high school is a very scary place. High school, you got to find your right crowd or otherwise you're going to be lost.
Screwed, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's probably like one of the reasons why you should have to stay with your people.
Yeah. Would you say that your parents had a different expectation for you guys as part of being just high school students and eventually directly going into colleges, whether it's social expectation, academic expectation? What are some expectations that did you guys have?
My expectation is to get all A's, no slacking, get my missing assignments and no missing assignments, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be on top of my school. And on top of that, just be a good kid. I guess for that kind of standards, being obedient, listen to what they say and not like crazy going, how to explain?
Rebellious.
Yeah, rebellious and doing what a lot of these other kids be doing. Sometimes there's kids that we end up going on shows where they have to go to JDC or something like that.
Yeah.
To-
What's JDC?
JDC is basically, it's a place where kids go. It's like a jail and they see what, basically they try to teach them, oh, this is going to happen to you.
Oh, like scare straight.
Yeah, like scare straight, kind of like that.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, JDC is like juvenile detention center.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Why would they do that?
Why would they do that?
Yeah.
No, the kids, if you mess up enough.
I know, but I'm missing something. Say more.
So yeah, like I was saying, they would go to like something like scare straight or like they say you end up in JDC because a lot of kids, in high school, there's a lot of kids that stray and become bad. And my parents use that as an example. Don't be like those. Just be school, straight, and all that kind of stuff. That's the expectation we had. But same time, though, it's not the same because everyone's grows up differently.
That's, I can't imagine. Correct me if this is not the same for you guys. When I was in high school, if an Oromo person got tried with, scared straight, what, JTC?
Yeah.
Juvenile detention center.
Forget even truancy, right? Allah, that parent would have a heart attack. They would either. Have you guys been threatened about being sent back home?
Yes.
Oh, jokingly.
Yeah.
Is that even a joke though? When it's a threat?
I don't think. I think they use that to instill fear in me.
Yeah.
Kind of go with it. You're going back home, right? You know? Are you serious? Yeah. I want to go to school. You guys came here to raise me here just to send me back to where you guys fled from.
Like,
that doesn't make sense. But at the same time, it keeps you on your toes. But I wouldn't say that's what kept me on my toes. Maybe for like other parents, because it's like common for kids to like, yo, yeah, bro, my mom said she's going to send me back home if I do this. My dad said he's going to send me back home. But I think it goes back into the factor of like discipline.
Okay.
So it was like, they don't want to send you back home because they don't like you. They see that you're not doing good here. Let's see if we could put you in this environment and see if you like might do better. So that's how.
What was the expectation for you then? Like Mustafa said earlier, what did they expect for you as a Nabil? What does Nabil look supposed to look like according to your parents?
Yeah, so growing up, Nabil started madrasa at a young age.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, I finished Quran at 8 years old.
MashaAllah.
By the grace of God, alhamdulillah. And then so I was like, Ryan, oh, Nabil's a good half straight A student. I was the kid that all my younger cousins looked up to. Like, be a role model for these guys.
Yeah.
Good person. Don't stray this way. Don't look like this. Don't do this. And you should be good. Get your degree, engineer, doctor, like the basic.
It's like engineer, doctor, lawyer.
Yeah, like, that's how it was for me. So it was like, just, I guess, the typical expectations.
The general expectation for the Oromo kids.
Yeah, for Oromo kids. I would say African kids, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed is that, like, all African friends, either doctor, engineer, especially medical field, they want you to go to medical field.
Because that's a scarcity and guaranteed jobs, right? For them is that because we come from an environment of survival and financial insecurity is the things that they worry so much about it. They don't think about, go follow your passion or stuff like that. But I also want to challenge that because I think sometimes art is good. There's other ways of doing things. We can't just do one way. But going back to your college, like, are you both right now in college?
We're both in college right now. Freshman in college.
Freshman?
Yep.
Oh, mashallah.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask you guys something, to just go back to high school a little bit, because you guys talked about high school. And you guys talked about how your parents talked to you about, or Nabil, you talked about how your parents said, we struggled here to bring you guys here so that you can get education and so on and so forth. Have your parents ever talked to you about other things and about that come up in high school? Maybe if that is relationships or like crushes or how to interact with the other gender and so on and so forth.
I remember one time, you know, riding around with my father. I was around seventh grade. And he was like, Nabil, you're getting old. Watch out for girls. They get to put you the wrong way. Stay focused on school. Don't focus on them. And then ever since then, I was like, what is this guy talking about? But as I grew older, I started to realize what he meant.
What did you think he meant?
When you're in high school, a lot of things that might get you like distracted. So it's a typical couple, for example. Oh, how's that? What is that? Oh, what is that about? And there's a lot of people like that seem to like have their mind more focused on that than like what they should focus on, so to say. Like, for me, I got to be on top of my school. There's a girl or something that might throw me off and things like that. So that's how I looked at it.
So give me an example, because I think majority of our assumption in high school is like boys and girls are interested in each other or they have crushes. If you like someone, you don't directly tell them you like them, but you just spend a lot of quality time with them between classes, or maybe on the weekends you guys hang out and go out to see movies.
Or stare at them from the far.
Exactly. Or just be that soul who's just going to have crush on that person for the rest of your high school career. And then after that, I had one crush in high school kind of thing. But tell us more about both of you guys' experience in that frame. Within the boys, do you guys talk about girls? How is that socially?
I guess with the boys, me growing up, the way I seen it and the way in my class and stuff, we didn't really focus on girls. We'd mostly be like, we'd see a girl and be like, oh, she's pretty. It's like that. Oh, you should go talk to her. Try to be their friend first.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we were more focused on physical activities in school and stuff like that. But my growing up into high school, like later on into high school, like towards the end stuff, you know, we'd probably guess like what you said before, like quality time, you know, try to get to know them and try to spend time. So like, I guess it's just there, but not too focused, not too much of a crush, but let's try to just like vibe, you know?
Okay.
So let's focus a little bit more on the little that you do focus on. Okay. Like how you said, oh, this girl is cute. Let's be friends. Give me the characteristics of that girl that someone like you or someone like you would talk to or want to be friends with. Just get to know a little bit more.
For me, growing up, I have a question. Are you speaking on an aspect of high school or is it now? Because I feel like in both cases are like different.
Let's start with high school.
Actually both.
And then give us what he was calling.
Because I can answer the question, but it's going to start from young. Because I come from an environment, I have no brothers. I grew up with an all-around woman. It was mostly my mom, my grandma, and both of my sisters. So it was like, I grew up around girls, no brothers. Father was there, but he wasn't really there. So it was like, I grew up having girlfriends. Me and my younger sister were similar in age. So it was like, it was normal for me. Same neighborhood, would play together, play outside together, go to community field trips with each other, went to the same school. The girlfriends I had in high school were typically the same ones I had growing up. So it wasn't like really like ones I was looking for. I'm like, be like, oh, okay, I think this girl's cool. I'm gonna be friends with her to try to get to know her. It wasn't really like that for me personally, my personal experience. And as I grow older too, you meet more people and you see different things. So it's all right, I have a class with this person. They might be the same as me. Oh, she's another Oromo girl. All right, okay, cool. Let me get to know her so we can help each other in class. It didn't really go deeper than that, but sometimes it might, but yeah.
You have no idea how much I understand you, because I grew up with brothers and their friends would come over and I saw that interaction and they treated me like little sister. So growing up, I had a lot of guy friends. And then because I was surrounded with a lot of men, I knew how to talk to men more and clearly and with no ish better than I knew how to talk to women. Have you ever been misunderstood?
Yeah, out of the guys out of school, I probably would have the most. I'll be around the girls, maybe probably the most. What is this guy doing?
Yeah.
Oh, or, oh, Nabil gets all the girls. Oh, he's always around them like that. But it wasn't really like that because, like you said, how your experience was for your brothers. It was like me for my sisters too. It was the same thing. I know how to talk to those girls. It wasn't weird between us. It was just, they're like one of the bros to me. You know what I mean? They were one of the guys. So that's how it was for me.
Yeah, your instinct is not something weird. It's just chill. It's just, yeah.
Like, just another person. I just look at them like, you know, they're another guy.
So normally you're like, oh, this person's Oromo or this person's Muslim. Like, we can get together and do homework together. And that's honestly how it is.
Yeah.
Or, oh, she's Oromo, she's my sister. Like, I need to get to know her.
Right.
Versus, oh, she cute. Let me get to know her.
It was, if I'm being honest, it was never really like that. It started off as, all right, it's my friend, let's do homework together. And then probably later on, it'll transition. And then the guys around me will question me. I'm like, what's up with you? Like, why are you just friends like with the, like these people? They'll just start to question me and ask me like if I was, like, they started to question my sexuality at one point. This is right. I was around them so much, right?
Yeah.
So they're just like, and like every time like girls are like brought up, oh, she's cute, she's cute. I'm just mute. I don't talk. Okay. Yeah. Do you have something to say? No. I don't have nothing to say. You know? And I felt like that was like more out of respect because they're not used to having a lot of girlfriends like that. So it's like, for me, it was more so just
cool.
This is how it was for me.
That's awesome. I have never related to someone more.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Mustafa, what about you?
For me, my experience was entirely different than his. I didn't have a lot of girlfriends. Actually, I hanged with the guys and stuff like that. But
what do you mean, girls that are friends, right?
Girls that are friends. That's what I meant. But I just hang with the guys. We did just mostly around guys. And I didn't have that many friends that are girls. But going back to your question before, you were saying, oh, what would I look for in someone that was like, I liked or something? I guess because I didn't have any girlfriends like that, it would start off as friends. So, and if I like, and obviously like, I'd like someone that I could talk to and I could relate to too. Cause back then being friends with a girl was still like a mystery cause I didn't understand girls at the same time cause I was around guys for most of the part. Eventually, every time when I did get a friend that was a girl, like I valued the friendship because I never had that friend on that other side. I guess it played like that. So I started off as friends. And then eventually when I started understanding them more, I started getting each other. And I just got to, then that's when you catch feelings and then you try to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time though, that's just like how I went about it in high school. Just like, I was just more chill. I never really like pursue, oh, she's cute. Let me like try to get her snap or get her number or something like that. I never really like pursued like that. I just let everything play out smoothly. So that's just how like...
So what does let me be her friend mean? Let's say, for example.
How do you determine that?
Yeah, how do you determine that?
What are some criteria and ways for you to know for you that this is the person that I can be friends with?
I don't really go and say I have to be a friend, like kind of force or anything. It could be like what Nabil was saying. If they have the same class, you can go study with them, try to get them, see if I can get some help.
Just like organically.
Yeah, exactly. So just try to like get help or something, try maybe study or maybe just start have a conversation with them, see if you have any common interests or anything.
Right.
Like you guys watch the same shows or like movies or like maybe listen to the same music or anything. And I guess that's like a way to tell, oh man, I could be your friend or stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's just how I went about it.
That is so cool. That's also why I feel like the word friend zoned pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody gets friend zoned.
I want to know their thought on
okay,
what
sorry,
friend zone
go ahead.
Is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is a friend zone for you both?
I think it depends on your initial intention. I'm going to tell you like this. Let's break it down. All right. My friend sees this girl, right? She thinks she's cute. He wants to get to know her. And things aren't going the way how he pictured it. Oh, okay. I want to be more than friends with her, but she's not budging. She just wants to stay there. That's what I would call the friend zone. Because you're trying to go for something more than friends, and then you're stuck. It's like a block. It's a wall. And I think that's what the friend zone would be. And that's only there if the intention of something else being, i.e. more than friends, was there. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with exactly what he said, because it depends on exactly what you wanted to do at first. So if you wanted to be more than friends with her, and if you wanted to confess your feelings with her, actually, like, I'll give you guys an analogy. If you want to jump two steps, right? If your intention was to jump those two steps and you end up jumping on one step, then that's when you feel like you're friend zone. You didn't get what you wanted to do. You got pushed down, like you got demoted, you know, like, you know, got. So that's why I feel like that's where the friend zone plays in.
How do you handle that, though, in that case? Would you be able to be direct about telling this girl, look, I like you and I want to get to know you? And she's, okay, I just want to be your friend. And if she wants to be your friend, can you patiently be her, just her friend, without being the nice guy who also hoping one day things going to change?
Or being like, you ugly anyway.
It depends on the route you take at the same time. So if you want to take the slow route, being their friend and trying to like, if you want to be their friend with the intention to be more than friends, you got to like flirt a little bit, throwing hints and stuff like that. And at the same time, when someone that goes to go that route, they have to like, in order for them to proceed, they have to get like the same energy back. I feel like in that case, like most guys, they would just be like, I can't be friends with that person after mm-hmm. that. Because I guess their pride gets broken off that.
Yeah.
Because then it's, I'm not good enough. So why would I be their friend at the end of the day?
You never wanted to be the friend to begin with.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And I think that's one distinction I feel like there is, right, from what you said initially, which is my intention is the friendship. And if anything happens after that, then qadr Allah, versus the person's intention is to be something else, but then they're going the route of friendship and then they get stuck at this friend space and they get frustrated, or like they say that I'm being friends. Okay,
if they were going like the route of the friendship, I feel like most people, they don't get that frustrated when they don't like proceed. Because mm-hmm. then it's like, it saves the humility of actually like trying.
It's a safety net.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you was to like jump,
yeah,
to then like, yo, I want to be more than friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then she's like, oh, I want to be friends. Uh-huh. Then that's when the pride comes in. You're like, I got to cut it out. I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Get that.
You.
Personally, I've never been in a situation where I've been friend zone or even being close to friend zone. Because my nature was, if I was friends with the opposite gender, if I was friends with the girl, I didn't see anything more than that. That wasn't even my intention. I didn't look past that. So I was like, if I was to ever be friend zone, like Mustafa said, I'd probably just, if I was like trying to go for something else, say, like, oh, now we could just be friends.
Are you saying you'd be satisfied with just having the friendship if after you being friend zone?
Oh, no, I wouldn't be satisfied. I wouldn't be satisfied.
I can't do it.
If I'm trying to, if I'm trying to pursue something and I become friend zoned, it's got rejected.
You got rejected. Right. That's exactly
right. Rejection is part of the process.
The moment a guy says, I'm interested in you, girls normally automatically either know, because they've known that person, their person's personality, they've known how they move and how they feel around that person, the comfort level. Normally, automatically, they know that this is the person, okay, this could work out or this cannot work out. It's too weird or it's just there. Regardless of if you're hot or if you're not, it doesn't matter. They normally know. There are people, there are girls that are like, okay, I could see this working out, but I'm not there. I'm not in where you are feelings-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're there. You're in love with me, all that stuff. But then I'm not there. I've always seen you like my friend. I can get there sometime though. Versus, yeah, this ain't working out. You're just my friend.
Not always. I think it depends. It really depends on the girl. It depends on what you were saying earlier, is the environment of some girls who are generally being friends with boys versus girls who are not.
Yeah.
Some girls are very oblivious about the whole situation. And when it comes up, it comes as a shock. So then that's where the reject may feel like a rejection for the other gender, and the processing have to happen. And then after that, they might even change their mind. But then there are other girls who have been friends with boys who understand, yeah, he's just my friend. I don't see beyond that. So I guess it depends to answer that question. But generally, I know girls who have no idea the guy that they were friends with liked them. Yeah. Even though he was doing all the things that you would think somebody like you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of us knew, but she didn't. You know, so there's that situation too.
I know you don't move like that, but if you did move like that, let's say this person that you haven't been friends with, or you are someone who has whatever, what does that person look like?
Well, what boxes do they have to check? So, yeah, what I talked about, I haven't really experienced that, but there was this one girl, okay?
Let's talk about this one girl.
There was this one girl, okay? So it was like, we went to school together, just like a lot of the other girls I went to school with. And it's like, she wasn't no different from any other girl I was friends with in the beginning, let's say. And then when you start to communicate with somebody more, you start talking to them, talking to someone more, you start listening to them more, and vice versa. That's where thoughts like start to process. And this was me in high school, early in high school. And it's okay. You're doing more for me than I would say like my other woman friends are doing more for me. But I still had you in the same box, in the same category as all of them. But the more I see you do some more different things, the more like you start to leave that box and you start to get put into another box. So yeah, like I said, for example, talking, like communication, like a lot of communication. I'll talk to you more than I'll talk to anybody else. And then if that starts to just go on and go on, it's okay. I think I like this girl.
And that's the evolution of friendship and eventually relationship and liking someone, right? The more time you spend with them, the more you talk to them, the more conversation and you seen their perspective, how they think, then you're like, you get curious, right?
Yeah, it could. That's one way it could start off too. But then like what we were talking about before, if you had an intention with the relationship with somebody, that could be different too. Because, okay, you want to get to know the person more. That's what you're going for. But me, I was at the point where I were just friends. But then our chemistry was different. Is we start to connect more because the more I get to know you, it's like, okay, I see myself in you a little bit. Oh, we share the same ideas on some things. Morals might be the same. We might disagree on some things, but we could talk about it. Like, it won't be like too bad. So it was like you said, the evolution from a friendship to a relationship, I feel like that's what I was experiencing. And what made that different was this, I'm not sure, it was this, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it, you know?
It was just different.
It was just different.
Yeah.
That.
So if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more about that experience, that moment or that time period in your life with that specific person when you were friends with them, or if it did morph into something else, how did that go? If it's still going on, what did you learn from it? How did it start? How did it end up morphing from a friendship to a relationship or a friendship to talking, whatever it morphed to?
Yeah.
And then what were you learning as it went on?
Like how I said, how it started, it would start like how I'll be friends with everybody else. Met this person in middle school, right? And it was, now social media is very prevalent, I would say now, right? And we just ended up exchanging numbers from Snapchat. So it was like iMessage games. I don't know if like you guys are familiar, not to call you guys old, but I don't know if it's
I don't know.
So it was like have numbers and you could play like a variety of different games. It could be 8-ball, it could be chess, it could be a variety of different games that you could play with anybody. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, cool. But I was doing this with everybody as well too. But it was like, okay, I'm doing this more with you though, right? And then the more I start to do with you, I wasn't thinking much of it, but then it wouldn't go from texting, it would go from phone calls now. So that's what happened. And then this person, so she ended up being my best friend. Okay. So I was like, we're just friends. All right, now you're my best friend. Okay. I tell you some of my secrets. You tell me your secrets. And it was like that for a long time. I was still friends with this girl when she had dealings with another person. You know what I mean? So it was like, I was still your best friend. She would tell me about everything that she had going on. It was just like that sense of comfortability. And then her and dude, and didn't end up working out. But me, it was like, all right, I think I might like this girl, right? But it was like, okay, but we're just friends though. I'm like, right now, I'm just like her support system. She could be mine. Nothing intimate was like ever. I didn't think about that. I didn't want to be like more than friends, even though the idea was there. Like, I didn't really want to break that boundary because what if I ruined that friendship going into that? As time went on, you only get closer if you talk like almost every day, if not every day. So it's, yeah, I'm 15 years old and I'm talking to you at school. Summer comes around. I'm still talking to you outside of school. That communication, that's what really reels you in, was that communication. One day it's just, all right, let me confess how I feel. But before I say that, I think I put her in the friend zone because she did ask me a couple months prior. I was like, oh, what are we? And I was like,
I got scared.
Yeah, like my heart started racing. Like when on the phone, I was like, what are we? I was like, friends.
I didn't know what to say.
Yeah. We were just friends.
But was that what you were feeling at the time, or were you thinking about
No, I was like, I really like this girl, right? It was safe to say I was like infatuated. I was like, let's use the L word. I was in love, okay? Let's say I was in love. And then it was like, I didn't know she felt the same way. That question just struck me by surprise. So I was like, yo, what's going on?
That's exactly what you wanted.
Yeah. Let him finish the story. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that happened. And then we just moved on from there. You know, that topic was never brought up again. And time went on. And then just let me confess how I feel. Yeah. But this is, I was scared of that sort of rejection. Even though, like, I knew she liked me. I was confused. Like, this never happened to me. I was never more than friends with a girl, like, ever. So it was just like, I just didn't know how to go about it. And it was like, what was also blocking that was, oh, you're not supposed to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. And I did not want to, like, enter that threshold and that box of having a boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, kind of went away the more and more I talked to her. And I eventually ended up asking her. And and it was very emotional, I would say. I guess because she asked me why I didn't say anything before, like, when she asked me. I was like, I told her I was scared. And I guess we're happy. And, yeah.
So you guys are still together?
No.
So what happened?
Everything was going well, to be honest. If I'm being honest with you, it was like anything I could ask for at 15, 16 years old. There's someone that could listen to you. Someone that, like, your best friend. You look for your best friend and your partner. Like, you're someone you're just, like, overly comfortable with. But then down the line, I'm starting to realize, yo, is this the right way I should be, like, going about things too? So we shared a lot of things in common, but one thing we didn't share was religion. Okay, cool. Same ethnicity, different religion. Me thinking about that, I was like, all right, I can still marry this woman. If you, like, it says that a Muslim man can marry the woman who's from the Abrahamic religions, Jewish, Muslim, Christian. So I was like, that's the thought process I was having too. At 15 years old, I was like, yeah, I'm going to marry this girl. I want to marry her. As time went on, I guess she realized what I wasn't doing was right. As in, this is against your deen. Why are you doing this? She had all these Muslim friends. She seen, it was because of a tweet. She seen a tweet come around. She said, yo, this Muslim youth should stop normalizing zina, right? And she asked me what zina was. You know, I told her. And she was like, how about everything else? I was like, of course, like, we're not going to be looking that way, but it's having a boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, those are things that lead up to that. So we're supposed to not even go anywhere that leads towards that. She's like, all right, why are you doing this? I was like, I didn't have an answer. It's like, I love you. I want to be with you, but this isn't the right way. Because of that, things got to end. She broke up with me. So she's like, go focus on your deen. You got to do what you got to do. If anything happens in the future, something might happen. We might meet again. This shouldn't be the way we're going about things. Maybe in the future, if those feelings are gone, we could be friends again, but that's how things had to end.
I understand what you're saying, because that person is valuable enough for you to be in, to have them in your life. You don't want to lose that person, right? Because it's not just romantic feelings that you have that with that person. You, like you said, it grew. So it's hard to just unplug from that kind of space. So what did that moment in your life teach you? What did you walk away
from? Yeah. My biggest takeaway from that was, if you're not loyal to Allah, how do you expect another being, let alone doesn't have to be like a significant other, how do you expect them to be loyal to you? Meaning, Allah only tells us what to do is because He knows what's good for it. For example, if you drink, you're going to get drunk. If you get drunk, you might get hurt or something. You might hurt somebody else. You're not supposed to do it. It's haram for a reason. Or that's why there is law that God sent to us. That was my biggest takeaway. It was like, if I'm going to go against Allah, eventually He's going to come back and bite me. Not because we were arguing everything. I didn't think we would break up. But for her to break up with me, it was like, that still hurt me at the end of the day because we still ended up not being together. It was like, be loyal to Allah and Allah will reward you.
I find it interesting how she's the one that had to remind you who Allah is to you.
And the thing is, was I knew like I wasn't doing it the right way.
Yeah.
But it was like,
you were making justifications. You were saying like, Allah allows. You were trying to make it right from what you've told us. I don't think you forgot, or I don't think you went out the way. I think you were trying to say, okay, I have this right. I have the right to marry a non-Muslim person. And then maybe, inshallah, if that person converts or so on and so forth, then you're allowed to marry. So I think you were trying to go into the gray area.
I was trying to like bend the rules a little bit. I was trying to like, my intentions were marriage, even from the get-go, even before I even confessed my feelings to it. I started to realize, yo, this could be someone I can marry because it's like the characteristics, things of that nature. And it was like, I never had ill intentions. At the end of the day, I still was trying to bend the rules, like, and go on to the gray area, like you said. And
I think it's Allah's rahmat. Yeah. I think that's what I understood anyway. I think it's Allah's rahmat towards both of you guys. Because for her to be the reminder for you, imagine if this person wasn't just cool with it. You're like, oh, this is not cool with you, or this is not cool with your religion. This is going to get in between. Or maybe not even it's going to get in between, but you might not be in the right space in your journey with Allah and your connection with Allah to be able to take on someone else and to be a teacher and a leader for someone else to be able to convert. For her to be like, okay, this is not the time for us. That's rahmat, because a lot of people, they go down the wrong route. And you know how they say, Westerners, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
Right? They go down the wrong route with good intentions and then get somewhere they don't want to be. I want to switch a little bit to Mustafa and just ask you the same question I asked him. If this hypothetical woman existed, what does that person's characteristic look like?
Oh, honestly, those type of characteristics, there's two types of characteristics for me. So one, got to be on like the outside. They have to be, preferably I like someone that's East African, that's Muslim, that's just as modest, it's like that. But I also like something that's what I, my personal characteristics that I like. It's someone that I could talk to, be comfortable around. Someone that's like open-minded. Someone that's socially aware. Someone that can like connect with me on a deeper level. And I can communicate them very well and talk about anything. It could be to like religion, to be like what's happening now, to about talking about like goals, intuitions in the future, dreams, and the plan to even get to that route of success, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, like I value those types. And like I'm the type, I like deep conversations and stuff. All my close homies and friends, I'm able to connect and have a great conversation with them. So that's something I like. Those type of characters, someone I value in. And there was someone for me too. Someone that I had almost talking to. Started off talking about, we were friends prior, but we fell off after a while because we were friends. Like younger, like in middle school and stuff. And then basically, we rekindled our friendship again in high school, right? So we started talking, getting to know each other. And it was going well and everything. And then eventually, like after a few months of talking, we like started to realize we have feelings for each other. It got to a point where we was hanging out and eventually like we ended up dating and stuff. So we were dating, we were doing everything we could. And everything that I described to you guys, she fit my characteristics. I fit hers. We were having all this great conversation and stuff. But dating someone that young age, you grow differently. So we grew apart. We had different ideologies. We grew around different environments. We started seeing things differently. And eventually that kind of led to arguments about ideas and what you should do, what should this person do, and just ended up having problems.
Can I ask you to just elaborate a little bit? What does it mean? Examples. In what ways did you guys grow apart?
I'd say I'm trying to think of a good example. One way would probably be like what the other person should do for the other person. Like how about being caring? And also, I feel like it was also like there's a commitment. There's a commitment. Like Barry, one of us had a little commitment barrier, and I feel like it was on her end.
What does that mean exactly?
It was more of losing like a friend. You know, when you lose a friend, it's like they're getting distance like that. And honestly, like when you're losing a friend like that, I feel like that's where the commitment kind of came in. And I felt, oh, something's going wrong. But since you guys are in a relationship, it's not like something easy. You could just like fall off. Because when you're with a friend and you're losing distance,
you're like, oh, it's cool.
Apart. There's no talking. But when you're in a relationship, you have to end it.
Would you say that like priorities has changed with time?
Yeah, exactly.
And then life got in the middle, whether maybe either you're working or she's going to school. There's other stuff got in the middle of like
exactly
where you guys first started.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it wasn't even just on her end. It was on my end too. And I was super busy. I was going through a lot with personal things in my life. It just got to a point where we didn't have time for each other. We weren't like talking. It got to a point where we were having arguments about all this type of stuff. So we ended up...
The thing that has nothing to do with your relationship, but it's becoming a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So then it finally got to the point where it was, might as well, we should just end it at this point and maybe come back later on when the time is right. Because the way it was seen is like how we discussed it was like right person, wrong time.
Yeah.
But that's how I've seen it. But at the end of the day, even if that was, if we were to speak again, if her name was written next to mine, if
right,
I was next to hers,
right,
it's about to happen. So all I could do is just wait. We don't really know. We're very young at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, we might meet someone new.
Mm-hmm.
We might not.
Yeah.
We're just about to go with life and see where it takes us.
What are some of the misconceptions that you guys heard about the opposite gender, though? You said earlier, Nabil, that how your dad told you when you were in seventh grade, stay away from girls because girls are a distraction.
Yeah.
What else have you heard about girls because I want to take a shift a little bit.
I was just wondering if they could define what dating looks like first, and then they could go there. Just
define what dating looks like, or
go with whichever one. Yeah.
Yeah.
What dating would look like at the age where I would say I was dating, 15, 16. It's, okay. Typically might be somebody, maybe somebody that meet at school or surrounding school areas. Talk to that person like every day. Go on dates, go to the movies or something. And just,
would you call that halal dating?
Nah, no. Westernized dating.
Westernized.
Yeah, very westernized. No mahram around. Like, it's you two alone. That's what dating look like. And that's what the type of dating
is. That normal within you guys' age group?
I feel like it's something that's been put on us and something that we've been exposed to, especially like living here. Because like we see that kind of stuff in like high school, or like we see that in like movies and television.
Yeah.
And that's something we see a lot. And then I guess that's how like it was portrayed for what a relationship should look like. Right? So I feel like that's why a lot of people are like, went that route at a young age.
Did your parents ever give you guys a what?
I know. Or don't do it.
Did they say about, I know, talk about what you need to do if you're like a girl? Or even those conversations, was that even ever happened for you guys?
Yeah. Even when I was younger, my mom would always like talk about, are you interested in a girl? You're acting a little different. Do you like somebody? She noticed that in me. And I think that's just the mother's intuition and the mother's instinct. Yeah, no, mom, no. I'm not interested in anyone. Because I knew what I, going back to me, the way I was dating, it wasn't typically halal. It was like haram. You know, I was supposed to be doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I was like, I'll keep that away from her. Right? But then here and there, I'll joke around and say, yo, I might marry this person. I'll describe the girl. Oh, I might marry this Oromo girl. I already mentioned, she's not going to question if she's Muslim or not, because that's all like her mindset is at. But just to see what like, she would say, I'll slowly just like, gradually to say something, because my mom would always ask me about like, questions like that. So, you know, just let me know if you like somebody. Like, we can try to like work something out. I feel like that was her way of telling me, yo, this is the right way. You know what I mean?
How often do you, I'm going to go back to that statement that you just made. How often do you think your Oromo mother or father, anytime you say I'm speaking to Oromo person, they think they're not Muslim?
It's a no-brainer for them. I think I was joking around. And my mom wouldn't take me seriously too, because I like to joke. So she's every time she's like, yeah, okay, Nabil, okay.
Right, sure, cool, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
But then, one day I said something about, yeah, bro, she's Christian. That caught her attention. It's okay. I'm joking.
She didn't believe you.
She didn't believe me.
Yeah.
But I feel like part of her believing just a little bit, because later down the line, that ended. She asked me, like, yo, what happened to that Christian girl? And I was like, I was just joking. So like,
you are not joking.
No, you're not joking.
We just test the water and see what they say.
You know?
What do you think her silence meant? Her knowing what you were doing, or like her knowing that she was a Christian girl, but like not saying anything.
Regardless of whether if she was Christian or not, my mother didn't know I was dating. So it was like, it was something I kept away from her and my father as well. It's something I kept away from them. Maybe her silence was, all right, this kid is growing up, right? He's in his adolescence. It's normal for a boy or girl to like catch feelings and like somebody. Let's just see where he goes with this. Let's see. Because mom's very, she wants us to be open with it. She wants us to have that relationship with her. So me and my other sisters. I feel like she's not going to nag me about a certain situation. When I'm comfortable, when she knows that I'm ready and when I'm comfortable, she's all ears and there to listen.
MashaAllah, that's really beautiful. I think I'm taking notes for my son, because I'm like, I'm probably going to be the nagging mom like once he mentions. So I'm taking notes for myself.
I want Mustafa to answer that. Dating.
Honestly, I grew up in a different kind of way. My parents always said talking the other day is haram. Mm-hmm. So they set that boundary right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't something that was like brought up while growing up, because like I said, it's something that I didn't focus on until later on. And then because it wasn't brought up,
mm-hmm.
it's something we already know or like what's set. So you have to keep away from your parents. So she like, it's something hard to bring up to your parents. It's just awkward and it's like scary at the same time. It's just kind of something that you hid.
If parents had these kind of conversations with their kids, first of all, at what age do you think they should start having these conversations and being like, hey, if you are interested in somebody, this is what you should be interested in and not the code of conduct. And then if so, what do you think would the ideal conversation would look like that would have helped you guys growing? First, when do you think would be ideal time? And then what would the ideal conversation?
I feel like the ideal age probably be like 12 or 13. Because I feel like that's around the age where everyone gets, you start going through puberty and stuff like that. And that's like when the hormones kick in, people get crushes and feelings, all that stuff. And honestly, that would be, and I feel like the conversation, lend that hand out as a parent and make them set that boundary rule. Be like, if you do like someone, I'm here to listen and we can do it the right way. Instead of just saying haram, because honestly, it's true. It's good to say that it's haram and that they should know what's right and wrong. But then and in order for them to get over the obstacle of that rule saying it's haram, they have to hide it. So being like the helping hand and just being open of it, but having that relationship with your kid, that way, I feel like that'd be a really good way.
Yeah, I agree with Mustafa. Yeah, I'll say middle school, high school. Let them know, it's okay, you mentioned it's haram, okay? They're going to know. It's not going to do anything for the kid, though. As you grew up, right? How many cases do you see of people knowing something is wrong? They still end up doing because people are naive. People like to try new things. People like to...
I think they have time to repent. That's why. They're like, I'm young. I have a new time.
Oh, yeah. That's a dangerous mindset. I know some people. Yeah, it's a very bad mindset.
Yeah. I'll say, the age of adolescence. Because you can't hide this from your kid forever. This is eventually... When your kid starts to like somebody, of course you want them to go about it the right way. So building that sense of comfortability at that young age, regardless of whether the kid might tell you or not, because majority of the time we're at school. Of course, there's stuff that are done at home too, but you're not at home most of the time. Your influence is everywhere else except in the home. Mm-hmm. As much as it is, there's some sets of morals and principles that you follow, right? But then majority of the things that you follow, you see, you want to act like, you want to do. People you hang around, what you see online, especially social media too. Uh-huh. All right, let me see this. Oh, this looks nice. I want to go out and try this. You just want to build that sense of comfortability for your child to be open to you.
So do you think, hey, son or hey, daughter, stay away from this kind of situation, this kind of person, do this. Or if you are interested in somebody, talk to me or let me be the mahram and the date. I'll be around. So you guys, would that be helpful versus just waiting for you to come talk to them?
I think with that, I also have a general statement as a therapist to talk about that. I think there's a different conversation to have with boys and girls with that question that you have. But I want to hear how, from a men point of view, how do you guys want us as a parent to tackle that? Because that's a great question. Because
The conversation be better if it came from the husband or the mom?
I feel like the conversation might come better when it comes with the dad. I feel more comfortable. And honestly, I think the way to go about it is probably more jokingly. Instead of coming so serious, just on little hints.
Oh, you must be liking somebody at school. You must have a friend at school.
Yeah.
I do that with my nephew.
Yeah, those kind of jokes. Also, what you were saying before, either, you shouldn't do this, or a little bit of both.
Balance it out.
Yeah, balance it out. You should be you shouldn't talk to people like that, but if the case does come, you end up liking someone, just let me know. And we can talk about it like that. I don't know, just... try your best to be comfortable with the child at the end of the day. And obviously not every child is the same. They think differently. They might not, the one might ease up to that way and one might ease up to the other way where it's jokingly. I guess you just got to maneuver. You got to test each side.
Personalities,
exactly.
So what I'm hearing you say is that, first of all, just pick a strategy that fits your kid because you know your kid better.
Exactly.
And then also don't just stick with one strategy. Sometimes go with the joking route, but then also have the serious moments of, hey, this is what is expected and what's the reality of the situation, but once in a while make it light
and try to do all that without being too strict, because obviously majority of the time the kids won't open up to their parents because they feel as they're too strict or they're going to receive some kind of consequence or discipline,
they're going to get in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's probably why they just the comfortability that you gotta figure out how to deal with.
So when bringing it up to the child, I feel it's good to hear a little bit of both sides. If it's a boy or a girl, I feel like a son could connect more with a father and a daughter could connect more with a mother. Just for the simple fact that 9 times out of 10, you probably went through the same thing that they went through, being their gender and, being the same gender, male, female, you might have the same experience, maybe different, maybe a different situation, but experience may be generally the same. My father maybe liked a girl or something, so he probably might connect with me you like a girl too. All right, let's talk about her or something. And from the mother's side too, it's good to go both ways because, all right, your mother could probably tell you how a girl might think. You know what I mean? Your father could probably tell you how he thinks a girl might think, right? But he can't really tell you how a girl thinks. Talk to both. Maybe experience-wise, talk to a daughter, probably talk to the mother. Son, probably talk to the father. But I feel like parents should go at it together. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it's teamwork too. He's not your son. He's both of your guys' son. He's not your daughter, he's both your guys' daughter. So
maybe sit down together as a parent and have those conversations.
Tag team with this,
I agree. Yeah, I think that's how it should be. But you have a different perspective with being around. You had a lot of sisters and cousins and our females. What does your understanding for the opposite gender, what are the misunderstandings that you have about the opposite gender from the environment both, or what are the conversations as boys you guys talk about girls and what to look for and what are some red flags or things like that?
Or even in your friend group, right? Like when you guys are sitting around and talking, what do you feel is the misconception that you notice most?
Misconceptions about us?
I did. About women, what are the misconceptions you have about women in general? You hide or have? Because we all have biases about one another.
Yeah.
I think it would be easier if we asked them the misconceptions they feel like women have about them, because it's hard to know that what you know is a misconception or not, right?
Yeah, that too. I want to know both. Both. Because they have it and we have it too.
Mm-hmm. Your friends. What do you think your friends have misconceptions about? I feel like me being friends with guys, one misconception that I know that women have about guys is you guys don't have feelings. Oh, there's that misconception. One misconception guys have about girls, I feel, is you guys think that we take everything too seriously.
Yeah, everything's a heart.
We're not like logical. And I used to always have these debates with my guy friends and with my brothers and so on and so forth about, if you just broke it down to us and talked to us the way you talk to your buddies, then they would understand.
For the misconception for women, I think that I had now, but I thought that they're like very emotional.
What does emotional mean? And then,
like you said, taking things to heart, but at the same time, everyone's different. And that's what I mean by I'm learning. Everybody's not the same. But I guess one's for guys is that I think that women have for guys, they don't have feelings. They don't think deeply about things. And like they're like, they don't think far ahead. They don't think like three steps ahead at the same time. And there are some guys that think like that, but at the same time, it's some guys that do. So honestly, all these misconceptions, it doesn't apply to like the gender as a whole, if that makes sense. It just applies to individuals itself. To be honest, there is a lot of people that fit those in each gender. Nabil, he grew up around like girls, so he doesn't have the stereotypes. He has the understanding.
He has more exposure.
Exactly, exposure.
Yeah. Piggybacking off what you said too, a lot of guys think that girls just don't take things at face value. You would need like a lot of explanation. Like for example, a guy might tell his guy friend, yo, I'm going to play basketball, okay? All right, we're going to go play basketball. And then somehow like it gets canceled. It's, oh, sorry, bro. I can't make it. Something happened. All right, cool. All right. Hey, a guy like tells his girl like, yo, I'm sorry. I had to stay. I'm sorry. We can't make it to this movie. And she's like, why guys have that misconception of girls always questioning and like always want to know. They just don't like take it how it is. I don't know if I'm wording that the right way.
I think communication is where the issues might be in many points. That's what I'm getting from what you're saying, is one way that I've understand and learn too is that sometimes as opposite genders, we speak two different languages. It's like when you put somebody who speaks Oromo and somebody who speaks French, how do you think those two people are going to communicate? Be direct, be clear, be concise, right? And so I think that's where like a lot of misunderstanding, misconception, which develop more in any relationship, regardless what relationship it is.
And I'm asking this because I feel like I've had this conversation with my friends and my husband even a lot. Do you think we're more similar and we feel more similar things than we do different, even in relationships, even when we are infatuated with somebody from far, from whatever the case is? Do you think we experience the same things, we being like girls and guys? And we just communicate it or express it differently? Or are we really as different as we seem?
No, we're more similar, than it seems. A girl might feel some type of way about a guy. She might talk about it a lot with her friends. And it's, I really like this guy. She's like talking about it. Something she could talk about. A guy, on the other hand, he might not talk about it as much. He might feel the same way, but just because he's not communicating it the same way she doesn't mean that we're really that different.
I think coming with that compassion of understanding one another, and I think that would create better safe space and to be open to hearing one another and being open-minded and being curious, asking clarifying questions, probably the best way to go about that.
I was just going to say, when it comes to women and men,
And when it comes to relationships and dating, something they do, but similar, is heartbreak.
Well,
the feeling of liking someone or love or something that way. And honestly, they might like each other or communicate in different ways. One person might be secret, not talk about it with his friends.
Uh-huh.
The other one might do it a lot, but at the same time, they both are feeling the same thing.
Absolutely.
And I feel knowing that, like you said, being open-minded, we could come to a conclusion and we could come to like a common ground, all right? Let's learn how you communicate. I'm going to tell you how I communicate. And let's see what the middle ground is for us. Once you guys have that common ground, maybe the way you guys communicate would be different.
I also have a question about you both being in college right now. And when do you think is that time to have, or I know majority, a lot of college students do have a plan on getting married eventually, and they have timeline that they have set for themselves, maybe when I graduated.
Yeah.
So how do you guys network? How do you guys meet people when you're in college? What does that look like for you guys right now?
And what does the time frame look like?
For getting married?
Yeah.
When it comes to meeting people in college, honestly, I just think it's just going in and doing yourself, just focusing on your own self. But at the same time, just building relationships, like being friends, making friends.
Uh-huh.
That's the best route to go. Just keeping, I feel like my time frame is probably towards the end of college or whenever I feel like I'm stable in my life. Like I'm financially stable or I'm like ready to make that big commitment. Because when it comes to marriage, it's a lot itself. Like you got to marry the girl and you got to marry her family and you got to marry.
The responsibility.
Exactly. The responsibilities, all that stuff that comes with it.
So what I'm hearing you say is that be open-minded, be curious, but just go with the flow and organically if it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't have a set plan until like maybe you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Social environment in college, you meet a lot of new people is because you're not typically with the same people that you like grew up with. It's a whole like different environment. You might go with the same people that you came up with, but at the same time, there's a lot more events. You might decide to join more clubs. That's where you can meet more people. So it's very social. It's like you can't get away from it. You're always going to be like interacting with one another. Like Mustafa said, go with the flow too. Timeline for marriage. I feel like ready is different for everybody. You see some people get married at 17. You see some people get married at 25. But I feel like the right time to get married, so to say, is you have to know about yourself. You have to like really know yourself. Meaning like, how can you love somebody else if you didn't love yourself yet? So doing simple things, bringing it back to the deen. One way of showing that I love myself is worshiping Allah and have that connection with God.
Yeah.
Of course, there's other factors too. Financially, you want to be able to provide as the man, of course, provide and protect. That all plays a role.
If that's what something that you wanted to be, what does she have to be for you in order for that person? Because what you're saying, Nabil, right now, you want to be steadfast in your religion first.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be able to financially in the right place where you feel like you're ready to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
But what are some criteria about her? Like, what are you looking for? What are you guys looking for? The question is open to both of you. Hypothetical.
I'd say the same thing when it comes to Dean and just like kind of yourself, knowing yourself. And
what am I looking for? Of course, I'd like to have someone. Probably if we're talking Dean White, same level as me or maybe better. So I could probably learn from them because marriage is not just like a stable line. It's like it's something that's always continue to learn and grow from new experiences. You might learn something a couple years in your marriage about the person that you didn't know before. So I want someone that's open-minded too. You know, you have an open-minded person, someone you could have conversations with, someone you could relate to as well. You know what I mean? That's what I would look for.
I wanted to ask, in our last interview, we asked, what is the dating scene like right now in the youth? What the girl said is that it's gotten more explicit now.
I'd say dating just got more into that Western tradition. And it's pretty much like what you said. It's like going through, it's like talking a lot and then going on dates a lot. And it did get physical. Or it is physical now in this kind of today's society because it's more of people are just like dating just to date and to do some like haram activity sometimes, stuff like that. But
is that for our Muslim brothers and sisters too? It's not just, we're not talking about Adan people, right? This is in our community.
It's just everyone. Yeah.
So we can call it Zeno, full friends, without not shaming it or anything.
Yeah.
But which I struggle with that. But anyway, they're crossing that boundary where we're not supposed to. Is that what I'm hearing you guys say?
Yeah, I feel like at a point in time, it was very like something that was like very kept. If you were doing something, no one would know about it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, especially in our age group, 2023, right? The adolescence people in the same age, it's something that's like popular and it's not a shock.
So the shame is gone.
No, I showed. No, but yeah. Like for, I wouldn't say it's like that for everybody, but like when you hear something, it doesn't really like shock you anymore. Yeah. Which should be like, which is very sad.
No.
Yeah,
I think this is why we're having this conversation, because I feel like a lot of parents are living in such a delusional world.
Yeah.
And that they're not fully understanding on what's really happening, as far as what Bonnie was saying, is that the younger kids, elementaries, middle schools, high schools, are doing the things that adults are doing, as far as when it comes to relationships. And we
adults that are not married should not be doing.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that's why I feel like, yes, we can put everything under the rug and not talk about it and just keep it quiet. But we have to talk about things that are difficult.
Yeah.
And the reason we want to have these kind of interviews with the youth is because I worked in the school system for a long time. Even I don't have my finger on the pulse like you guys do. That's why it's better when parents hear it from you guys, and also future parents hear it from you guys. In addition, I feel like most of the time, and I took that very seriously in high school, was people do things because they think other people are doing it too, but then other people are not doing it. So those people that pretend that they're doing it, they're not doing it. They're just putting up that front that they're doing it. And then you, because you're a follower, you end up getting caught. I can explain that by saying, for example, in my school, there was a lot of fiends. There were a lot of drug fiends. And it was like starting to almost be like cool to smoke, what is it called? The e-cigs. And that's when they came out.
Yeah.
And
vaping,
yeah, the vapes, that's when they came out, was when I was in high school, and everyone would carry them. And then I knew people that never smoked them, but that carried them around just because they thought it was like, it would make them, I don't know, like a badass or something. And because certain people are insecure and they want to get with the cool crew, they would do it for real and get addicted for real with the other person just posing with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I guess my question is, I'll bring it back to intimacy and Islam and stuff. How much do you guys think Islam and our rules is in the forefront of the youth's mind when it comes to, and I'm speaking specifically, obviously, our youth and the youth's mind when they are interacting with the other gender?
From what I have seen, Islam is not the priority. If we're being honest, we shouldn't be even having those interactions in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the first line that's already crossed. So everything else is just looked over to. Islam is not the main focus, which is, I wouldn't say that's for it. That is for everybody too. But what is starting to like really happen is,
it's in the back of their heads.
Yeah, it's not very, it's not, people are not thinking about it. You know what I mean? They just go with the flow, but not in the way that they should.
I feel like even if they aren't thinking about it at the moment, after they do what they did, then they think about it, like what I did, and they feel regret or something like that. But honestly, at the moment, I think that it's more of in the moment thinking, just like
today.
Just today.
Yeah.
And then think later after. I was just going to say about back to what you say. Some people probably think that I could repent after that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you think we can change that? What would be a good thing in our community that we could do, like a wood that would maybe like a curve test. That? Yeah. Better. The adults could do, the youth could do, whichever one is.
The sad truth is, as time goes on more and more, this stuff becomes exposed to our youth. For example, right?
But how do we prepare our youth for those things? Like,
so that they don't get,
because right now,
up.
Starting earlier, like I was saying earlier, the vaping is normal in elementary right now. Now even opiate is even normal in middle schools. And forget about sexual experiences and other taboo things that we're all afraid of.
Do you think having systems like maybe having like in masjid sheikhs talking about it more, or parents talking about it more, or even having programs after school, like what do you think? This friend of mine is into this thing, blah blah blah, he's doing this, he's doing that. If he had this, or if he had this person, or whatever that case is, if it's too deep of a question, I'm sorry.
Nah, looking at it is what hasn't been done. That's what I'm looking at, right? There's halakas going on all the time, but like,
you have to be in the masjid.
Yeah, you have to be in the masjid, right? And this, all right, it still might be targeting the youth, But it still might be targeting kids our age don't have that love for the masjid as much. They'd rather go, a movie comes out on Friday, there's Hulk on Friday. They'd rather go to that new movie that comes out. And even on social media too, a lot of Islamic reminders too. But some people just scroll past and it's not at all. So it's just, I don't know what.
Do you think events like we did, and I'm not doing a plug for us, but do you think events like we did would have any impact or help?
I would say it would have an impact. Think about a lot of people that knew about the event, for example, didn't come. They just see it. I feel like they don't have that sense of...
I think the innate motivation is gone.
Yeah, like the motivation for it.
I really don't know. Honestly, I think there's a lot of things that everyone has already tried. And like from what it looks like, it's not working as much. But I think I know what to do when it comes to like your own individual child as a parent. I think...
What would that look like?
Yeah, I feel like a better way to look at it is probably making them aware of, just let them know at a very young age, you're going to encounter this, so they don't go in blind, you know, when they come with this new stuff, like, oh, my mom, well, then you're told me about this stuff. Mm-hmm. So they have like that understanding in the back of their head, oh, this is the thing.
Nothing is shocking.
Yeah, nothing shocking. My mom, my dad, they told me about this.
Yeah.
So they have the idea.
Yeah.
And one also thing that I think is like a really big influence is like their friends, environment they're in. Because it doesn't matter at the end of the day if you're like a good kid or a bad kid. If you're a good kid and you go into a bad school system, you're gonna become bad eventually. Even especially the fact that you're a kid, because kids like to try new things and they don't want to feel left out. They don't want to feel like the lame kid. So
because you brought up the school system, I wanted to ask one more question, and Javi, you can go ahead. And this could be lead to our closer, I promise. Do you think that you guys probably never went to like Islamic schools or anything, but do you think maybe if our youth started off in Islamic schools, like Islamic elementary school, Islamic middle school, Islamic high school, like Al-Amal or whatever, would that be more good because they're immersed in that kind of environment? Or is being a public school better? I feel like from an outsider looking in, I would think it would be easy, like, oh, you know, just because they're in schools, they're going to be automatically more sheltered from certain things than if they were in public school. What do you guys think?
The thing about that is that if you were sheltered from all the bad things, mm-hmm. and you get into that environment, because you're going to get exposed to that environment, then it's like, you're going to want to try it based off of curiosity because you're human.
I'm thinking more about what you said of letting them know right away of like, hey, this is what we do, this is what we don't do.
I feel like growing up, say, like, kid goes to the same school, their whole school career, it's going to be, I feel like they'll have a lot of benefits, but maybe like slight downsides, because how would they interact like outside of that environment? Like once like they're put into that environment, all right, no, K to 12, they grew up in summer school and they knew like what, everything that wasn't supposed to be done, they didn't see it. But then once they're out in the real world, once you become an adult, what do you do then? But then I feel like if that's the case, growing up in that environment, let it be known what's going on. Because like, you can't hide the truth from the kid from a person for a long time. They eventually get to find out regardless. And it's not even just school too. Social media plays a big factor. You know what I mean? Kids are hopping on like social media from like the age of 9 years old. They see everything. Like the internet's a very like scary place. Things that you're not supposed to. And this, I feel like if that's known, then like you could move on from there. You could build from there.
Can I say one more thing too? Like the way Nabil explained it, I also see it as this. When there's a kid that has strict parents for a long time, they were never able to go out, or they're always in the crib, they always gotta be home at 6 or 7. They never had the opportunity to hang with friends. And I've seen this from the moment they get that freedom, then they go crazy. They don't go home 3 a.m. They're just doing everything. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to experience all that stuff they couldn't experience when they were pent up in the house, or so they couldn't do anything. It's good to have a little type of exposure, balanced, not to a point where like that exposure and that environment will consume you, but to more that exposure will give you awareness.
I like that. There's a separation between you and the exposure, but you know that it exists. Yeah, exactly. So you're not shocked by it later on or tempted by it later on.
Exactly.
I like that.
Okay. What would be advice would you like to hear if you are a youth in middle school today?
One thing would be don't fall into peer pressure, because even though I talked about me like falling into that haram relationship. I did it because I was influenced by like the things around me. And like peer pressure is not just your friend telling you to do something, but peer pressure is like what you see when you're walking around and what you like look at for, like from online and what could be talked about but not executed. So it's like peer pressure is like number one. That's some advice I'll like give to the youth.
I actually find that really interesting. I'm glad that you said that because peer pressure doesn't have to be a verbal conversation that you had with people or people telling you to do something. Peer pressure can be as things that you consume with your eyes, because in our religion, zina happens five ways. All your five senses, including zina, what you watch, what you hear, what you talk about, are all part of that. So when you consume something, that is itself. Eventually, at the beginning, you resist it. You're like, that's haram. No, for me, I'm not going to do that. But the more you see it, the more attraction that it gets. I always said this, maybe we can add this too, is if you want to learn the best akhlaq, learn akhlaq of shaitan. Because he's so patient, very concise. When it works on us as a human being in our heart and condition and desirability, he works very well. And that is the work of it. The peer pressure itself is like you consume something. You watch in social media. Yeah. You watch in TVs. You talk about it with your friend group. You see it in the hallway of school.
Yeah. And if you're not partaking or participating in like such activity, you're going to look like the person. You're going to look like the odd one out. You're going to look like the oddball. So it's just don't fall into peer pressure. And in doing so, just remember Allah most of all. So
I want to just add one more thing, because I think what this peer pressure aspect, it adds on to what Mustafa said about also picking your friends. But when I was a kid, my mom used to tell me, show me your five friends. Show me who your friends are. And I'll tell you exactly who you are. Meaning the people that you surround yourself with, the people that you have most contact with, because at that time, social media wasn't a thing, right? So your closest friends are those five people that you hang out with. The most contact with, the most conversations with are the people that you end up emulating. But now, you have to expand that. Those five friends, is that your phone, the apps on your phone, your TV, of course your friends too, the schools that you go to and the kind of people that you're around. Your neighborhood is also one of your five friends. Because if you're walking down your neighborhood and everybody's hooked up, you're going to look like the crazy person. How come that person doesn't have someone?
Yeah.
It's so crazy to me too, like how even in our own faith, the Muslim kids are saying, how come you don't have someone?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the other people saying that. Or, oh, that person, oh, why don't you talk to that person? We're being our own shaitans.
Yeah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. But so that's what I think it's really interesting how both of those things marry into one another. The peer pressure of your idea and then the who you're friends with, what you're, the environment that you talked about. That's all very interesting. Yeah.
I just have last one question. What would be one advice would you give the youth, middle schools, high
and
schools,
parents.
And parents? Or two, three advices?
I could start. So for the youth, what's cool now, don't fall into that. Because 9 times out of 10, it's not good for you. And I'm glad that back in high school too, I wasn't around the crowd that was like doing drugs and things like that. It's because at the end of the day, it's not good for you and your iman too. You might see that couple in the hallway walking together, right? Was that really the way to go about things? Like, you might look nice, you might want to try it, or you might want to go to this party or something. And if you don't go, kids might look at you like lame. Like, oh, you didn't go to the party. You're weird, lame. Don't let that consume you. Try to stay as steadfast as possible, because high school is it's a crazy test. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of fitna in high school and things of that nature. Just try to stay steadfast. Make dua, because if anyone else in this world doesn't have you, Allah got you at the end of the day. So that's my advice. And for parents, try to be more open with your kids. And I feel like the next generation coming up, we won't really have a problem with that as much as because we're having conversations like these. You know what I mean? Letting people know. Yeah. Kids, don't follow the trends. Parents, try to be more open. Inshallah.
For my advice for the youth, is probably just watch who you hang around and watch who you look up to and look at where you are and how it might lead you to where you will be in the future. Because a lot of the things that the youths that look at is the route they're going. Because whatever might be cool, if they like being a bad boy or bad girl, looking at what happened to those people who are bad boys, bad girls, where are they right now? Just look at where they end up to be. Just try to follow, look up to people who end up being successful in your life. And just like, not just in your life, successful in general, you know? That's just my advice for the youth and for the parents. Sort of the same thing, is just be open with your kids and also watch your kids' environments. I feel like people don't really see how big of a significant factor environment is play a role in your kids. Build a great relationship with your kids, because the more they feel comfortable, the more it's easier to manage them from the inside out instead of trying to figure out what they're doing from the outside.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't have said that better. That is so powerful. Try to manage your kids from the inside out instead of trying to do it from the outside in.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for taking the time and explain to us your journey. And we really love for our listeners to continue to listen to us. And if they have any questions and feedback, send us all, let her know. But this is a great, difficult conversation.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.